Welcome to the Sacred Awakenings podcast. We are a community that supports spiritual exploration in order to awaken our greatest potential. Our Sunday gatherings are a time we set aside for ritual and ceremony as a community to enrich our own spiritual lives with the support of other open-hearted people. We have taken excerpts from our Sunday talks from various spiritual leaders to put here to make it easier for listening and re-listening. Enjoy our talk.
Hello, friends. I'm Reverend Cher Trenholm. And today at Sacred Awakenings, we'll explore a subject that I think most humans ponder. And that is, what happens after the death of the physical body? Is that the end of consciousness? Or is there another dimension where consciousness continues on? Well, reflecting on this question, I think it's especially important for those who may be in or approaching the second half of life. I currently work with elders, and yes, I am one, using a program that I'm creating based on the book Aging to Saging by Zalman Dr. Shalomi. And one aspect of the program encourages elders to deepen their spiritual insight. In coming to terms with their death, they may be helped by perceiving something that is within a vast and ever-changing universe. And there they may exist a timeless dimension within their own souls, something that's ongoing and beyond the grave. Naturally, this is for each person to decide for themselves or discover for themselves. But, you know, when we ask these questions, I think each answer seems to lead to another question. And, you know, what? It's a great mystery. Suppose we believe or perceive that consciousness extends to the other side or across the veil, which is the term I learned when I studied Kabbalah. Well, then the question becomes, do human souls who do cross over into another realm retain their individual identity and their own consciousness? Or does each person who leaves their current manifestation join into one collective consciousness? Or are they subsumed into the great Gaia, the whole of the living planet Earth? And then another question is, can we have faith in the existence of the immortal soul? And if we do, is there evidence that we're able to communicate with these spirits in some way? As an interfaith minister and spiritual teacher, I've learned a lot about how people around the world with all kinds of diverse religious beliefs and cultural traditions would weigh in on these questions. So I want to share a few thoughts with you about this. The Buddha very simply did not believe in God or a soul, but he believed in the doctrine of karma, or cause and effect. So Buddha's followers envision reassembly into a new individual and rebirth to life on earth, or samsara, as it's called, to undergo improvement, reincarnating into a giant creative cosmos and keeps going around and around. Now, the Abrahamic faiths of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam believe in the existence of an eternal soul, but that the dead sleep until a later time when all worthy souls will be resurrected to heaven to be with God. Mormons believe that they live and have always lived in the same life form, but only get one life, residing in heaven after they pass away. In theosophy, the Akashic records are a compendium of all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, and intents which have ever occurred in the past, present, or future, in terms of all entities and all forms. Whew, yeah. In this talk, I'm going to speak about myself and my own life experiences, which is something that I don't usually do. Since I was very small, I was drawn to people of diverse cultures. I don't know why, but their beliefs and their customs, especially non-Western developing nations and indigenous groups of people. And as a young adult, I took the opportunity to travel to many of these cultures. In fact, in 1977 and 1978, I spent a year in the Pacific, in Southeast Asia, India, Nepal, Iran, and Northern Africa, visiting many indigenous tribes. Now, the Zulu people really rever their ancestors, and they seek protection and guidance from them. They go so far as to build small homes for their departed. And they'll often face the doorways in certain cardinal directions, depending on the person, or they locate them in places the person loved in life. For example, grandma is next to her beloved garden. Or they adorn the huts with symbols representing their lives. And they do communicate regularly through prayer or just talking to their deceased loved ones and reading the signs that they believe they have been given. Some claim to see their ancestors walking on the earth. Jesus did after he was resurrected. Another place I visited recently was Mongolia. As was the case in ancient Egypt, the dead are buried with their possessions from life, in order that they can be comfortable, in order that they can be protected. Indigenous North and South Americans also believe that the ancestors have much to teach us. They connect with the ancestors for direction in making important decisions. And they also pray for strength and wisdom and protection from harm. They use shamans who enter trance states, sometimes using hallucinogenic medicines, plants, or music, or sacred objects to see visions and then interpret those messages. Most Indigenous Americans are deeply connected to nature in a spiritual way, observing changes in life cycles and the sighting of animals as signs. Now, when I was in Peru, I studied with four different shamans. And in this picture, the shamans are conducting a ritual, which is arranging various objects in a pattern. It takes over an hour. And they create a mesa, which is then wrapped up and is burned as a sacred offering. The Hawaiian island of Molokai has been my spiritual home for over 25 years. The original inhabitants of the Hawaiian islands were animists, and they believed the elements of nature are each endowed with a spirit. And thus they lived with the gods throughout their daily lives. So the spirit of the water, the spirit of the rocks, the spirit of the sun. Now, even today, the Amakua, or exceptionally powerful ancestors, are familial guardians for the people who assume the form of animals, plants, or other forms of nature and are signs of protection that can actually intercede on their behalf. So friends, it seems to me that more than half of the people on the planet believe in an afterlife. Many sources say there's no evidence of life after death at all, nor are we able to communicate with the departed. And yet for some people, myself included, either near-death experiences and, or other out-of-body experiences offer proof. And some people have experienced psychic abilities or a sense of deja vu, seeing ghosts, or using a medium to inform their belief, their knowing. And I believe that everything in the universe is comprised of energy. And that when our spirit comes to Earth, the body becomes dense and vibrates at a lower frequency. So in the body, kind of individually, and it seems that we're separate beings, distinct from each other, and even separate from our source. I'm going to share a few very personal stories and experiences which have provided me with enough evidence that we do exist beyond the grave. And we, the living, can develop the ability to communicate with the departed. These abilities have added to my strong faith that our spirit is eternal. And when we cease to inhabit our body, our consciousness moves to a different realm, joining a kind of collective consciousness or energy. And if, in my view, if I hadn't had these experiences, I might not have believed when we die, we go anywhere. I might have thought we just ceased to exist. But my early experiences were shaped by Edgar Cayce, who was a medium. And he spent more than half of his life in a trance. And he eventually created the Edgar Cayce Institute to train other mediums and psychics. And I read a lot of his books. One of the most influential books I read when I was young was called A World Beyond by Ruth Montgomery. She claimed to have channeled the entire book through automatic writing from her close friend, Arthur Ford, who was an associate of Cayce and who had passed on and then wrote the book. She wrote, as a young child and adult. You know, I had lots of psychic abilities. I was very sensitive. I could find things. You know, I'd go into a trance, kind of a quiet time, and I could see the object and I could find it. And I had precognition and heightened intuition. But after I read Montgomery's book, I found that I was able to do automatic writing as well. I had an out-of-body experience. My 20s. I'm embarrassed to say that I had too much to drink. And I kind of walked myself to the bathroom to be sick. Well, the next thing I knew, I was up on the ceiling. And I was watching a girl down below who was sitting on the john throwing up. I eventually realized it was me. But I felt so removed from her. Like, I was just watching. And then suddenly, boom, I came back down into my body just before I passed out. In my 30s, I joined a small group of seekers who regularly studied. And we had many sessions and readings with people like channelers and psychics, an astrologer even, and even a hypnotherapist who did past life regressions with us. And everything we did seemed to ring true. In their readings, they included information that they never could have known. One person even drew a portrait of me in my past life on the American prairie. And one that I had had flashes of all through my life. I looked down at myself and I'd see a tiny pair of pointed boots and a dusty, ruffled skirt and rough, hardened hands. Tell me about that life. And during one session in particular, the practitioner was interrupted by a spirit who kept insisting that she speak to me on her behalf. And so the medium then described my grandma to a T, from her white poofy hair to her British accent. And my grandma and I had made a pact that she'd be my guardian angel. And on that day, she brought me a message. She apologized to me. And it was very powerful. And I believe it was true. The lady had no way of knowing about my grandma. There have been many reports of people being clinically dead and then coming back to the living to report on what they saw or felt or experiences. They're called NDEs, not near-death experiences. And I've read many of their books. The biggest influence on me was the testimony of Anita Morjani in her book, Dying to Be Me. I heard her in person, actually, but you can find her speaking on YouTube and other places. So in the book, basically, Anita lay unconscious and dying, her organs shutting down, on life support, with tumors the size of lemons on her neck. And similar to my out-of-body experience, she was above and she could see and hear her loved ones. She was then transported to a place with loving beings who assisted her in a life review and gave her a choice then to stay or return to her life with the knowledge that she now had. She returned. Within a week, the tumors were gone. And she had made a complete recovery. Check her out. My next set of experiences provided the most profound proof for me. My sister Wendy was hit by a truck and killed at age 49. My dad and my husband and I went out to Los Angeles to gather her things and get her body out of the morgue. She'd been held there for 9 days because it might have been a homicide. So we were all quite numb as we walked around a funeral home trying to pick out a coffin. Father's knocking on the coffins, and you know, we're all kind of in a daze, and suddenly I felt drawn to a certain casket with pink roses on it. And my nephew actually came over. He said, I feel strongly about this one. So since my mother hadn't been able to come, this is in the old days of not with my cell phone, but I took a series of pictures for her of the inside of the coffin. And that was on the chance that Wendy's body would be too decayed to even. After the funeral, Wendy used to speak to me almost every day, especially when I was alone in the shower. And she spoke in her regular voice. Her speech kind of entered my head, bypassing my ears, not audible, but very clear. And I got kind of accustomed to this. She used to say things like she was watching over her son, or she was busy with the Akashic Records. On the day of her funeral, she had said to me, "Tell them of my peace." Well, that's a kind of a strange way to say it, but when I got up to speak, I did relay that message. Well, one morning, she said to me, "You know, Sherry, you're going to see me later today." And I said, "No, I have teenagers to take care of. I am not going where you are yet. No, no, no." And she just chuckled and she repeated that, yes, I was going to see her. Okay, so I got out of the shower and I proceeded with my day and I actually forgot all about the encounter. But when I got home from work that day, there was an envelope of photos on the kitchen counter. And unbeknownst to me, my husband had found a random roll of film a few days before, and he had dropped it off at the drugstore to be developed. And one of these photos showed an open coffin with a stream of light coming off the pillow. And here's the picture. Even my engineer husband testified that there were no fluorescent lights or anything which could have, you know, been a trick or created this effect. And to me, this was proof positive to confirm my conversations with my sister were real and that she was in a state of consciousness as herself and somehow able to enter the time-space continuum to come to me. I had other experiences since when my mother passed, her voice came to me. She was in Florida. I was in New Hampshire. And she said, right here again, Sherry, what? And I just replied almost instinctively, Ma, go to the light. Well, I later found out that the EMTs had tried to resuscitate her, although she had a DNR order, but she had had a massive stroke. A few minutes later, at the kitchen sink, and she passed through me. My spirit came right up out of my body, as natural as can be. She passed, and then clunk. My spirit came back into my body. I make this stuff up. Well, you can. When my dad was in a coma and nearly ready to pass, I had to go to work. I told him, you know, what a great father he had been and encouraged him it would be okay if he went. And suddenly he said, well, look what I can do. And he got up out of his body and he came and stood next to me. Now, I couldn't see him, but I could feel his energy. It's kind of like it was palpable. And we both marveled at this new ability he had, pretty cool. And then he walked down the hall with me toward the elevators. And a couple of hours later, he passed. When I told these stories to friends, I always expect skepticism and, you know, I never received it. I think in some circles, in this country anyway, it's kind of a taboo. I actually think most people have had some kind of experience like those I've been revealing. I've never actually seen a spirit, but my high school friend Ruth saw and heard her grandmother at the foot of her bed in her purple burial dress, which Ruth had never seen. Another high school friend who lived in a Revolutionary War home, had an active poltergeist bump up the stairs at night and looked like a misty cloud, and he actually would tear a page off the calendar every month. And he was in the census records as a former resident of the home. So to me, when I tell my story, everyone seems to have a story. So friends, do you have a story or do you have an inkling of what you believe might lay beyond our mortal life? I encourage you to tell it and use what you know to be true to make sense of your life as you move towards your own tranquility. And I leave you there. Namaste. And now, friends, we're going to enter a time of meditation and discovery. And I invite you to take a deep breath and close your eyes gently. We're going to enter a time of quiet, inner contemplation, and a journey of discovery. Take another deep breath breathing in and moving your attention to your heart. And as you breathe in, envision you are breathing in pure white light. And as you breathe out, release anything which does not serve you. Breathing in white light. Breathing out, releasing any tension, any thoughts, any resistance. Breathing in and breathing out. And now we will just breathe. We will just be breathing in the peace of this moment and allowing it to remain in your heart as you breathe out. Peace in, peace out. And on the screen of your mind, picture a giant tree, bigger than any tree you have ever seen. This is the world tree, the gateway between the worlds. Imagine the screen of your mind is like a doorway, like a portal you can easily pass through. Step through and stand before the great tree. Hear the wind in its branches. Smell the earth where the roots dig in. Reach out and feel the bark. As you keep your hands on the bark, hold the intention of finding an ancestor spirit to help you in your part in restoring balance to your world, to our world. Search in the roots of the tree for an opening. When you find it, step into the opening, which will lead to a tunnel. The tunnel slopes gently downward. Follow that tunnel. Follow the tunnel downward. Downward. It continues to spiral down. At the end of the tunnel, you see a light flickering like a fire. Walk toward that light. The tunnel ends in a forest clearing. There is a great fire in the middle of the clearing, and around the fire are the spirits of the ancestors. The ancestors are dancing, or simply watching the fire. Wait on the edge of the clearing until one of the ancestors breaks away and comes to join you. This may be a recent ancestor, someone you knew in life, or it may be someone from a more distant past. It may be an ancestor of blood, or an ancestor of spirit. If you do not recognize the ancestor, introduce yourself. Now ask your ancestor guide, for their wisdom and guidance in restoring peace and balance to the world. Alternatively, you might ask about your next role in awakening spiritually, or about an issue which has been on your heart and mind. Clarify your question and ask your guide directly. What is your task in these times? What wisdom from older times can help you in your work? What else do you need to do to accomplish your work in the world? ask any other questions you may have. And as we wait for an answer in the silence, be aware of any signs, words, and symbols. The ancestor may give you a gift to help you in your work or to help you remember your conversation. Search within yourself to see if you have a gift to offer in return. Thank your ancestor guide for their help and wisdom. Find the tunnel again and enter it. And follow that tunnel as it slopes back up. Follow the tunnel up and up. Follow the tunnel till you're once again at the base of the world tree. Hold your hands to the bark of the tree and offer thanks and gratitude for facilitating this journey. And now step back to the screen of your mind and bring yourself back to this circle. Come back. Come back. Come back to this time and place. Begin to move a bit. And open your eyes.
Thank you for finding us and tuning in to the message today. Please visit our website at sacredawakenings.org. May every day bring you sacred awakenings.